Morning Fort McMurray with Buffalo and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Noral Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Hey, everybody. Michelle Lancetel here. I think this is my fourth or fifth time on the show now? Fourth time?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I'm a local candidate in the public school trustee board run, public local school board, and the rest of who I am is pretty standard for the last time I was on. Still a pretty big community organizer, still working out on site, still doing the thing, and just looking forward to another a super hot run to the end of this election cycle. It's 33 candidates on the public school board ballot. It's wild behavior.
That's crazy. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about what the election process has looked like for you this time around.
Yeah, it is. So I'll start by saying it is so different than running for council. And I think a lot of that is actually just like where I'm at in life. When I was running for council, like I was so aware of everything that was important to me about how I represented in that space. And the run for public school, I think it really started as a result of kind of watching what our teachers were going through, listening to some of just the very wrong things that I was hearing in media, and thinking, man, if I could do something to help support education in some capacity, like I would love to do that. And I started looking at, okay, what kind of like boards exist for awareness and information and support structure. And then one of my good friends said, well, why don't you consider a run for trustee? And I hadn't really thought about it a whole bunch. And the more I looked into it, and the more I looked into the complexities of being a public school board trustee, especially in a community like Fort McMurray, the more I thought, you know what, I think this is the one. And I will say, I've had a lot of fear of missing out, a lot of FOMO with the candidates coming out in the council run, and I was feeling very disappointed in myself for not putting my hat back in the ring, because the first experience taught me so much. And I do feel like this opportunity in the public school board space is council adjacent and allows me to continue to kind of follow that passion for community leadership and for civic service. And here we are.
There we go.
Yeah.
So what has been your approach? Everybody is doing different things. There's so many different reports, different events. Like, what's been your thought process to running this time?
Yeah, I really was hoping that I would have a similar experience in the social media space that I had in the 2021 council run, where I was going live all the time. There was phenomenal engagement. My Facebook page was just absolutely bumping with comments and questions, and that has not been the case in okay. any capacity. I've actually been really shocked at the low engagement. Mm-hmm. And so I've really had to adjust out from that and do some more of the traditional elections things, like the event attendance, door knocking, which is something I really struggle with. I've been just answering, the number of surveys that come out for candidates, just really spending a lot of time putting effort and building those responses out so that the large interest groups are getting a good vibe for who I am. And then other than that, it's really just about trying to be present. I will have signs going out here shortly. A great company locally managed to jump in last minute for me. So shout out to Nate with the Sign Guru. Very much appreciate him. So those signs will go out this weekend. I've had a great group of volunteers that actually incidentally I met through the Rock the Rails event when we were desperately looking for labor support for setup in the really terrible weather situation that we had.
Yeah.
And then they've just kind of become like a go-to for me for basically everything. So very much appreciate them getting out into the neighborhoods and hanging the door knockers. I did take a slightly different approach with my door knockers insofar as they very clearly say, like, I was here, but I did not knock.
Okay.
And I didn't knock because I have four dogs, and they're all small dogs. And when people knock on my door, it is chaos. Like, it doesn't matter what they're there for. I no longer have the capacity to talk to them because my circus is going off. So that was the strategy with the door knockers, was just to, like, gently be a presence in communities, to be like, I know you're here, but not to not to disrupt.
Okay.
Or at least that was the intent. We had a bit of a misstep on the first day of the door knocking, because my guys went out and I was actually in Lloydminster, and so my team was going out early in the morning up in the community of Avesand, where I believe you're familiar. And it was like 6:30 in the morning. I'm prepping to give my first conference speech, so my mind's on, my social media finally starts going off, and I'm like, oh my god, like, the engagement, this is exciting.
Yeah.
And it turns out that they just scared the crap out of a couple of neighbors because they were triggering, it was before the sun came up, they were triggering the Ring cameras, and then when they were leaving, they were just cutting across out of views, so it looked like they were accessing properties and then not leaving them. So that was a little bit chaotic and definitely a misstep on my end. One of the things working with volunteers that's really critical is setting very clear instructions, because everybody, if you're operating in like a volunteer capacity, you are just there to do the thing, right? Like, it's so like personally motivated to just do good that people can get a little ahead of themselves, get a little excited, and I should have set very clear instructions on like appropriate times to be out doing this, and I didn't, and it affected some of the neighbors, which was the opposite of what I was trying to do. But shout out to the concerned neighbor that reached out directly and privately and just said, hey, this is what's going on, and like, it's a no-go. And I was like, oh my god, you're so right. So yeah,
there you go. Tell me a little about the four dogs.
Yeah, well, it's like, I do feel like every time I come in here, I say that I've got some version of a dog pack, which is true. So we currently have four small dogs, three of whom are seniors, one of whom is a puppy schnoodle. He's just turned three and he's a situation. Anybody who's got like a oodle breed will understand what I'm up to here. But the three seniors are rescues. The puppy schnoodle is a rescue. I think it's just kind of become like a part of our personality, is just having senior dog rescues in our home. And it, I wish that I had thought about it before we brought the first two seniors into our home back during COVID, that I had thought about like the emotional impact that was going to have, because the thing with senior dogs is that the time with them is too short. And so we've been through four losses over time now, all relatively traumatic. So shout out to any local candidates that are working on veterinary services. I would say it's a super complex issue and really doesn't have a lot of influence from a municipal level, but like, if they're willing to jump in and try, I would feel pretty strongly about supporting some of those platforms, because all four of our losses were without notice. Like, we were not prepared. It wasn't like we had a sick dog who over time was losing quality of life, with the exception of one, and that was our 18-year-old Beagle Cross, and he was just a whole situation. But the other three were something we couldn't have prepared for, and we didn't have the support here that we needed. And it's not for lack of effort, but from like a diagnostics perspective, that 5-hour trip to Edmonton with a sick dog that you might not be coming home with is wildly traumatic.
Yeah.
But fast forward, here we are. We're still doing the thing. The two most recents came home with us last year. And I keep saying us, like my husband's been deeply involved in the process. I have a thing that I do whereby I don't talk to him about big life decisions. So the two most recent ones, I've been tagged on social media like 100 times when the SPCA posted them on there, and I was like looking at their little faces and thinking like it's a senior bonded pair. And a senior bonded pair is a tough adopt out, right? Like you just know it's coming with medical, you just know that it's coming with a little bit of heartbreak, you don't know what kind of dogs and what kind of personality they're going to have, you don't know how they're going to integrate with your existing ones. Hmm. But nonetheless, I went up to the SPCA that afternoon, called my husband's best friend and was like, hey, I know you're looking for dogs, we should go up and we should check it out just for you, right? Left signing paperwork.
Is that at the SPCA here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I walked those dogs.
Yeah? Yeah. They're
German Shepherds?
No, these are just little babies. Oh. Wait, are there senior?
There was.
Surrendered German Shepherds?
There was. I don't know if they're still there, but okay. 6 months ago there was.
You just became my husband's least favorite person. I will have to go and
wouldn't be the first
that.
Time.
Yes. Oh,
on that note, Tanner has his questions ready for his segment, The Max City Minute, brought to you by Carrie and Patchouli Rose. Tanner, hit her with the Max City Minute.
Question number one. If you won the lottery, what would be your first purchase?
Ooh, how big is the lottery?
Like, jackpot.
Okay. My first purchase would be the home I currently live in and my parents' home right off the bat.
Question number two. What is one of your favorite quirks your dogs have?
Oh my God, the personalities on these four. My favorite quirks are Rambo, who's like a terrier cross. We think he's around like 14 or 15. He is the snuggliest psycho you've ever met in your entire life. Like, you have no idea that he wants to be friendly until you're holding him and he melts into you. Our Chihuahua, he is just about 17. He's been with us since he was like 9 months old. My favorite quirk with him is that he likes to fake being injured to get attention when he doesn't feel like he's getting enough. So every now and then he'll get like a bad eye where he'll just walk around with a closed eye until you pick him up, or he'll get a limp, or he'll shake on demand. Our Schnoodle is just quirks. Like, I don't think he has a steady personality trait. He's just kind of a little psycho. But he's a sweet boy and he's trying hard to be good. And then our little girl, no idea what she is. She is a ridiculous looking animal. But she has so much personality just in the last couple of months coming out. And her best quirk is that when she is ready to be fed, if we're still in bed and it's time for breakfast, because she is on a clock, she will hit you on the face until you're ready to get up. Which doesn't sound like something you should love, but it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Question number three. If you could have witnessed any moment in sports, what would you pick?
I would have loved to see, oh, this is a shout out to the Steelers, but I would have loved to see Big Ben's walk off. I watched it on TV. We were sitting at a little bar in Alabama, maybe, on his last game of his last night. And I remember sitting there just thinking, like, this is an iconic moment in sports that I really wish that I could feel the energy of the crowd for.
Question number four. What is your favorite thing to put on top of your toast?
So I don't like bread. and that's not like, Hot. it's not,
take.
It's not a health choice. It's
Oh, you're doubling down here.
I'm saying.
I know it's a texture thing.
We're talking like all bread, like buns,
just
and
like generally,
bagel.
It's not my go-to. Like I just like you can talk me into like a really well done piece of sourdough. So my best friend has
sourdough is the bread of choice.
She's been trying to work me into it. So she has this woman in town that makes her sourdough, and she delivers the sourdough to her clients. Mm-hmm. And she brought in a dill pickle sourdough, and she used that, which is like good like butter on top, and fed that to me. And I thought, okay, I could maybe be a girly that likes this. I will never be the baker of the sourdough or the buyer of the sourdough, but if it's in my general presence, I will probably eat
it. I'm sorry, so the bread you're choosing to go with is dill pickle sourdough. All right.
I'm feeling judged.
There's no wrong answer.
There's no wrong answers, but you are being judged.
I can't wait for this segment to finish. Yeah.
And your final question, if you could own one movie prop, what would you want to own?
Like, there's no way for me, because I'm not a cool person when it comes to movies. Like, I like really mainstream things, so, like, I'm not going to say anything that's really iconic. Like maybe the Heart of the Ocean prop, I think, just because that's the one that stands out the most in my mind.
And those have been your prop questions.
There we go. Okay, I got to get back on the bread topic. So you don't like bread at all? Like, we're talking, like,
by
Wonder
choice.
Bread, like, hot dog buns,
yeah,
white, like...
I think it's just, like, given the opportunity to not eat the bread, I will choose that.
So are you just having, like, a burger with no bun?
If the option for a burger with no bun is available...
It's always available. You just don't put the bun on.
But not if it makes me a weirdo. Like, I'm not walking... Like, if
somebody...
Oh, you're
a weirdo.
Made,
that's been, if
somebody
made
me a burger, I'm not gonna, like, take the bun off and remove the meat and just, like,
meat. Where is it that the option would exist that you don't look weird for eating a burger without a bun? Like, home?
Yeah, like in the make burgers at home, I do not prepare a bun to go with it.
What do you put in, like?
Do you put anything on it?
Cheese and ketchup.
And how do you knife and fork it?
Well, not fancy. No, I'm just.
This is wild. This is like wild. I'm loving this conversation.
This is the craziest thing about me. Jeez.
Oh, this is. Oh, yeah. This
it's
is
up there.
It's up there. Okay.
It's not that I don't. It's not that I will not eat. It's not like I have like a deep aversion to it.
Yeah.
Unless it's multigrain or brown bread, in which case I.
Yeah. Okay.
Care.
Okay. I can cop to that. Multigrain. Yeah.
Like I love multigrain and brown bread.
But you are multigrain.
It's just a texture thing. Like it's just like it's not a vibe for me. Like I find toast really weird.
So toast is a different texture.
Completely.
But I don't like either of the textures.
Okay. Wait. When did this bread affliction start in your life?
I'd have to check in with my mom, but I'm pretty sure it's always existed.
As long as you can remember.
Yeah, as long as I can remember.
Wild.
The one thing I will say,
yeah,
and this is super hypocritical, but the only thing I cook well and the only
grilled cheese.
I make a monster grilled cheese.
Okay, what about croutons? Where do you lie on croutons?
No, 0 out of 10.
What a weird choice
to just eat dried bread on.
I feel like you're losing votes here.
I support everybody's right to love bread.
Yeah. I don't know if I support your love not to.
This is an equal opportunity bread situation.
So like peanut butter and jam sandwiches.
No,
like,
absolutely not.
Oh, look at this stain on her face.
You couldn't convince me to eat peanut butter if it was gonna
say. What?
Like, are you allergic to peanuts?
No.
So you're just optionally choosing no peanut butter, no bread.
Oh, like the.
Without bread, how do you eat peanut butter?
Oh, I'll give you a million lists right now. This show's not about me and my love for peanut butter.
No.
That's a hot
take. And bread.
That's a hot take.
Yeah.
I do think also.
How do you feel about happiness? Do you hate that too?
Big fan of happiness. The way that it's kind of described in my group of friends and really to just anybody who ever wants to eat with me ever is that I have like the palate of a really bougie 5-year-old. Like, I just have very specific things that I will eat. I'm not, like, a condiments person. I don't like vegetables.
I don't like condiments. I get that.
Yeah, I just...
But, like, bread, man?
I, like... Okay, so, like, what do you snack on?
Yeah, like...
Like, because, like, anytime
wait, I'm just... Wait, do you like corn chips?
We're invested in this conversation.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Do I like chips?
Chips.
Yeah, yes. Like corn
do
chips.
Do I like corn chips? No.
So, okay, like, no, sure. No Doritos?
It's not my go-to.
Okay.
Because like,
it's
like
pretty
a,
close to bread.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm like fair a enough. Regular, like, bag of, like, regular Lay's. Just, like, plain, salty.
Salty, yellow bag greasy. Lay's. Okay, yeah. How do you feel about Lay's stacks?
I find them weird.
Okay, what about weird. Banana bread?
If the banana bread is made with chocolate chips and doesn't have a thick crust. So I might cut the crust off, but then I might be convinced.
This is fascinating. Like, I could talk to you for hours about this. We're going to turn off this camera. Like, I know this can't be the rest of the podcast.
No, we're done.
Oh, we're done? All right. Well, before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug because we got to get to the real good stuff. So you have the lights, camera, action.
I really don't know that we're leaving on a great note.
Oh, we're leaving on the greatest
here,
note.
Like,
oh, yeah,
you just became so much more personable. Like, straight up.
Just like weird. So really appreciate the opportunity to come on the show. Always enjoy my time here with you guys. I think for the community of Fort McMurray, if you've ever seen me on here before running in an election space, I'll tell you the same thing I told you then, but with a caveat, which is get out and vote. Your taxpayer dollars are spent locally. The influence on your life is at a local level. Do your research, check in on your candidates, and with the caveat as well, voting in the public or Catholic school board trustee is not only a right but like a significant responsibility for local community members. We become the stewards of such a significant portion of your tax dollars at work, and really become the people responsible for ensuring that that money is directed in a way that serves you, your kids, your neighbors' kids. So please vote. If you do not know what school division you're voting in, the two things that determine it are if you're a homeowner, your property taxes, there's a declaration that comes with it. If you have signed a declaration to send your tax dollars to the division, either Catholic or public, that is the ballot that you
need. Hi everyone, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.